Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, and everybody's going to get smarter now that Steve Chandler is in the building, so to speak. Steve is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of so many books. I think I pulled something carrying them into the studio. And actually, that's not true. I have peeps who do that. I have people who carry those things in for me. But I think they may have hurt themselves. But, of course, you know about 100 Ways to Motivate Others is one of his books. And 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, which is like sold something under a billion copies worldwide. And he's got a brand new book out called The Hands-Off Manager. He's our good friend, Steve. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. You're all on Twitter about being here, aren't you?
Well, yes. My heart is pounding. But, you know, I didn't know you had a posse of security thugs to carry things for.
Oh, yes. No, I have my peeps here who take care of these things for
all
me.
All right.
Yeah, I used to have to do that all by myself, but I have a peeps. And by the way, folks, you're listening to, you'll be happy to know, as you probably should already know, that, you know, Steve, this is an Anna Nicole and Brittany free zone here. You won't hear anything about any of that kind of nonsense. Only the really high quality stuff, like the stuff you and I talk about, Steve.
That's right.
On this show.
It feels refreshing.
Exactly. Steve, for decades, I have seen surveys of people who were interviewed, the compilation of the interviews of people who were leaving their employment.
Mm-hmm.
And for decades now, the issue of money, not being paid enough money, was never, ever, not one time in all the surveys, and I've probably seen a half a dozen or more of these things over the years, not one time was money the number one issue.
No, and I've seen the most recent HR surveys that show we haven't made any progress, and the number one issue is always the manager, mm-hmm. my immediate supervisor, management, how I've been treated, lack of trust, lack of respect, lack of access, lack of communication. That's always number one, and we haven't made much progress in the workplace. Very few enlightened people have found out how to manage people in this day and age.
Well, one thing that's happened, Steve, you and I are in the same generation, and we came up as young pups in what I call the dominator model of management. Back in
right.
the 20th century, it was my way or the highway. You know, somebody, when the boss said something, you popped your heels together and saluted smartly and said yes, sir, and marched off into the battle. And that was pretty much the way it was. But the 21st century is different in a number of ways, not the least of which the people we're managing are quite a bit different than you and I were.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of heel clicking these days, is there, Steve?
No, there isn't. We raise children differently, and there are different people coming into the workplace. They're far more independent. They are far more intelligent. They are so quick mentally, and they have so many creative resources that they're yearning to use to help the organization, no matter how small the organization is.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a small business with three people. This plague of mismanagement still occurs even in a business with three or four people.
So how do we fix this, Steve?
I think buying my book would do it.
Well, there's your gratuitous plug for the book,
yeah,
there, folks.
The self-promotion,
that's the self-promoting
shallow.
But other than that, Steve, what can we do?
Other than that, I think what we can do is learn to manage differently. And the core technique for this is to create agreements instead of managing by expectation. The old school of management is based on military model, which is great for the military, but not great for the small business. And if we can just create agreements with our coworkers that are strong and hold the worker accountable, we're not talking about wimping out and not holding people accountable for high performance, but we are talking about involving them in the agreement and keeping the channels open so we can have access to their ideas and creativity along the way, instead of just not trusting them, looking over their shoulder, being disappointed in them.
Mm-hmm. Steve, hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, the only problem is a small business is not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's not a kibbutz. It's not a commune. It's basically a form of a dictatorship. So how do we blend all that? That the fact that somebody has, the buck has to stop on someone's desk. How do we blend all that with getting folks to do the right thing and wanting to do it? And we'll do that right after these messages with Steve Chandler. Stay with us.
Spinning spiral never ending. Are we drawn toward the source? Spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force. So we stare into the emptiness and fall beneath the weight. Circling the nexus, an ape even dance with fate.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. That's Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen. The great Dan Fogelberg. One of the greatest 21st century artists that I know of. Singer, songwriter, musician extraordinaire. That's from the Innocent Age album, which you can still get out there. Your collection will not be complete without having the double album, Innocent Age album, out there that you can get. I know you can still get it. Get the CD. I wore out. Steve Chandler's our guest, folks. Steve, I wore out at least two of the cassettes before there were CDs back in the early 80s of that.
Well, album. You know, and I love the way that you integrate music into your show. A lot of people don't. They just have some kind of bumper music that doesn't even relate to the show. Well, but your music's great. It's down home country, a little bit of folk. It's outdated by quite a bit.
But there's a class. No, it's not. No, Steve, you got it all wrong, man. It's classic.
Oh, classic.
Classic,
right.
Is never outdated. That's my
story.
Right. See, I'm classic too. I'm not outdated. I'm classic. But no, seriously, I appreciate you saying that. I want the people, if I play their music on the show, I want them to know that I value it. I like telling people about it. I don't want to just use a little fair use music on the show. I want my audience to know who they are. Maybe they'll go buy their stuff. Isn't it great, Steve? You're a product of the music industry. You worked in that industry for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's very successfully. Isn't it great, though, that people can still go and buy the old things, the 20, 30, 40-year-old music on and get remastered cuts that are really great condition.
Yeah, it is great. It's how beautifully it's been preserved, all that music, and how accessible it is to everybody is really a beautiful thing.
And you talked about outdated, Steve. That Innocent Age album is 25 years old, at least, maybe 26 or 7 years old, and we're still, you know, people are still listening to it. Some of the stuff that's being played today, no one will be listening to it a year from now.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff. Anyway, back to the hands-off manager, folks. That's what Steve's new book is about, is what we're talking about. And I made the point before we went to the break, Steve, that, and folks, this is one of those things. You know why the throat of the great blue whale is only about this big and I'm holding up the size of a donut? That's because it's just the way it is. A small business is not a democracy, a kibbutz, or a commune, or even a republic. It is a kind of a dictatorship. The buck stops on somebody. Somebody has to make the ultimate decision, and that's just the way it is. So get over that part of it. So, Steve, the challenge that we have as managers is blending the fact that we actually have to make, somebody has to make the hard decisions sometimes, blending that reality with how do we get the most out of the people who are working with us, not only for the company's benefit, but for their benefit.
Yeah, and I think the leader needs to bring it down to the game element and the quarterback mentality. So if we're playing a game, everybody looks to the quarterback for the play that's called. And the quarterback says, even if it's a sandlot game, the quarterback says, you go deep, you two block, and everybody runs the play. Now, where small business leaders go wrong is they do a kind of front office mentality instead of a quarterback mentality. and they say, shut up and do your job. I'm not going to tell you why we're doing what we're doing. I'm not going to show you any of the numbers. And they take that weird front office mentality that disconnects them from their own workers.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get down on the field like a quarterback calling the plays, because if you're in there calling the plays, you'll get a lot of respect. It's not a democracy. They'll run your play. And at the same time, you get input from them. They come back and tell you what might be a good play next time around, and that's the ideal.
Right, absolutely. And I'll tell you, Steve, the problem the small business owners have, the challenge that they have often, is that in the beginning, we were the playmaker and the play executor and everything else, the janitor.
Yeah.
And so we've got, it's hard sometimes to turn loose of these things, and it's not easy. But I'll tell you, once you get used to letting others have a piece of the action, you let them make decisions, and you quit looking over their shoulder, and things start happening. They're assuming you've done a good job of hiring the right people. Once you get to that point, it's an incredibly liberating feeling,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's beautiful, and you even have to let them make mistakes and be okay with it.
That's say that again, Steve, because this probably is the essence of this, of being successful with what Steve's talking about.
Yeah, it really is. It's the essence of being able to grow, is to have a team that you can trust, and you have someone and you say, now you run that part of my business, and she makes a big mistake, and you don't go crazy, you don't get angry,
you don't fire her.
Because that will introduce fear, and pretty soon she'll just start trying to anticipate what you want, so you really haven't given it to her yet. You've got to really turn it over.
Don't you think one of the key things the 21st century manager has to learn is redemption?
Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, for example, that person that you just said made a big mistake. Now, what we've determined is that the person was trying hard. The customer was trying to be served. It was the employee was taking initiative within her own area of authority, and she made a mistake. There was a failure involved. And instead of going off like you just said, you do the redemption thing. And I've been telling my audience about this for a long time, and here's what it sounds like, folks. What did we learn?
Exactly. Beautiful.
That's the magic redemption phrase, folks. The question to ask, what did we learn? But you have to ask that in front of them, and then later in front of everybody, so you can share that.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Failure can be a beautiful teacher. It's a wonderful way to readjust and move forward. But the problem, business owners get so scared. And their fear gets in the way.
Because
of
sometimes a failure can take you down. That's what we're worried about. Because we're often never more than one big mistake away from closing up the doors. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Steve Chandler. His new book is called The Hands-Off Manager. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know.
Back at 7 till on Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Stephen Chandler, S-T-P-H-E-N Chandler, and his book, the new book is called The Hands-Off Manager. You had a co-author with that one, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, it's Dwayne Black. He's a really brilliant businessman, and he was the role model for The Hands-Off Manager. I've never seen it done the way he does it. He's the most powerful, gentle manager and leader, and he gets incredible performance out of his people. He does not micromanage, he does not criticize, and his whole approach is, I do not judge, I'm not judgmental. He says, now, I will evaluate, but I do not judge, and when people know I'm not judging them, they open up to me all day long, and we get things done.
Well, you know, don't you think that it makes people feel empowered and safe.
Yeah.
When they know that you believe in them, but that they don't have to make the final decision, that you actually will not let them go off the deep end.
Right.
And that's the safe part. And that's the empowering part is that they can contribute and they can offer something that may be used or may be modified once they offer it. Maybe one day they'll have a genius idea that goes all the way to the finish line. But it doesn't matter. What they contribute is valued. But they know that somebody, there is a safety net, and that's you, the owner.
Yeah, that's right. And the hands-off method allows people to not leave their best self at home. I don't want my employee to have all this talent, but they only use it on the weekend or they only use it in the evening, and then work is just a paycheck to them. I don't want that kind of employee.
Well, the two things that I have found that's the most empowering, the most powerful two statements, one's a question. Well, actually, both of them are questions that I think are the most powerful that we can ask. One of them we've already talked about. What did we learn? And of course that's on the way to redemption. The second one though, Steve, and this is very simple and it's so powerful and it serves so many purposes, and that is, what do you think?
Exactly. And it takes a strong person to be willing to sit there and listen to the answer, because most small egos don't want to know what other people think. They're clinging to their own opinions and they're walking around trying to be right all day. That's mm-hmm. their security. I'm right and you're wrong.
And if you've hired the staff the right way, you've hired people, you've tried to hire people who are smarter than you,
right.
And that's really kind of a dangerous thing for you to do then, isn't it? To walk around trying to make to have all the answers.
Yeah, it really is. You're in conflict with your own best interest when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen this many times. The manager just couldn't get their ego out of the way.
Well, many of the businesses that I consult with find, literally, when the manager leaves for a week vacation, productivity goes up. And that's because people have new freedom to do it their way. They have new freedom to do what they've always wanted to do. And other people step up and lead the effort. And what a tragic thing for the manager to actually be the brake pedal instead of the gas pedal in a business.
Well, how many times have we heard, we really didn't succeed around here till I learned how to get out of my own way?
Yeah, exactly right.
It's a term that I've heard many people use, haven't you?
Yeah. And I remember, and we talk in the book about Vince Young, the football player.
Right.
When he was at the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The coach there said in his junior year he was developing so fast, we decided to stop coaching him. And when we did that, his career took off and he became the best quarterback in the nation. What
wow.
we had been doing, we were coaching him so hard, we were confusing him in his sophomore year and his freshman year. We were just laying way too many expectations on him. We got out of his way, and he led him to the national championship.
And let his natural ability come out.
Exactly.
And his gift that he has.
Yeah, his own learning curve, his own ability to grow and learn, and they got out of his way.
Well, maybe that's something we should think about, Steve. Our employees each one have their own gifts. Maybe we're not even taking advantage of those gifts that come along with the package of this employee.
Yeah, I agree. We don't.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, give us that website, please.
SteveChandler.com.
Yeah, SteveChandler.com. The book is called The Hands-Off Manager. Is it available right now?
Everywhere.
So we're launching it on this show. Is that right?
That's right.
All right.
This is the first interview.
We always like to do that. We've launched several of your books, Steve. Hey, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you.
The Hands-Off Manager, ladies and gentlemen, by Stephen Chandler. And what's your co-author's name? Black?
Dwayne Black.
Dwayne Black. All right. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, reminding you, as always, seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.